You know, how many people have been to a lot of functions in the last 10 days or so? Yeah. Lynn and I were just trying to work out. I don't know if in the last 2 weeks there's been a day or a night that we haven't been at some function. And it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. Just saying. Looking forward to the new year and a little bit more of heightened responsibility. But in case you're a little worried about maybe just a little bit of excess, a little bit too much indulgence, I'm here to help you today because I've done some research. And here's what my research has unfolded and helped me understand. Did you know that the word desserts is very similar to the reverse of the word stressed? Write that down. So indulging in Christmas pudding, in pavlova, and a few things a little too sweet may be therapeutic. You can write that down, but please don't tell your doctor I told you that. It's a special time of year, and there's a lot of celebration that's hanging in the air. And I love the music, and I love the atmosphere. I love that so much that we celebrate, but in the midst of it, my prayer is, God, help us not forget what this is all about. I love the songs we sing. I've been in so many Christmas concerts and services in the last few weeks, and I honestly get quite moved by some of them. My favorite carol of all time is O Holy Night. Who's with me? Silent Night. Do a bit of research on how that song came about. The church organ was broken and they had to find a song in Germany that could be sung to a guitar. That became Silent Night. My new favorite up in the top three or four is Mary, Did You Know? Preach it, Pastor. But today we just sung a beautiful song which was written in the 1700s by Charles Wesley. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I want to take you back for a moment to just some of those lyrics. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconcile. Hark. You know, it's one of those moments where a word is a sentence. If you see the lyrics written, it's hark, exclamation mark. It's a sentence in itself. It's like, hey, stop and take significant notice about what you're about to hear. It's like, you ever come across a town crier? They're usually fairly special people, dressed up in weird clothing with a bell. And they walk through the streets going, hear ye, hear ye. That's what was happening in this moment. The angels are saying, hear ye, hear ye. We've got a very, very important message, so listen up. Let me tell you what it is. There's a king's been born. Not just any king. He's the King of Kings. That's why we say glory to the newborn king. And a lot of these carols have got a biblical basis. A lot of them actually use scripture in the actual lyrics themselves. Not so, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Whoever dreams of a white Christmas? I don't, I'm from Queensland, I dream of a sweaty Christmas. Do you know in Melbourne next week it doesn't get over 20 degrees? You're dreaming of a white Christmas. But in this song we've just been singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, they literally come from that moment that was recorded by Dr. Luke in Luke 2. Let me read it with you. We'll put the words on the screen. Luke 2 verse 8 says, and there were shepherds. Pause for a moment. We're going to come back to that. It's interesting that the angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds. They were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I love the fact that every time an angel turns up, massive thing, glowing brilliantly, says, don't be afraid. How many of you ever read scripture and say, yeah, right? Of course, it's traumatic. Don't be afraid. Because here's why. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You know, again, we sing Away in a Manger and we sway to it. You know what a manger is? It's a feed trough for cattle. This is the most humble expression of God to us. You'll find him lying in a manger, and suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, read it with me, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. As I said, it's quite a fascinating thing that this news that would change the human race would come to a group of shepherds. For me, I find it staggering that the angel of the Lord would appear to a group of people that weren't allowed to go, in our language, to church. They weren't allowed in the temple. They weren't allowed in the synagogue. Shepherds were seen as filthy and ignorant, rough and uncouth. They couldn't come into the presence of God. And so in the wonder of our grace-filled God, what does he do? To people that can't go to him, he says, I'll come to you. Comes to them, and he speaks to them, and he tells them the news that would change all of the human race, and it was good news. How many people are ready for some good news in a season that we've had so much bad news? Picked up the paper this morning, and it was literally filled with bad news about what's happening in our nation right now. But this is a moment when we pause, and we thank God for good news. That's what the gospel means. You know, we say the word God, it literally means good news. And here is the good news. It's joy instead of fear. Fear is trying to grip the heart of this nation right now. At that time in human history, when Rome was dominating the known world through force and through aggression, God sends to humanity the Prince of Peace. Oh, God, help us have a fresh revelation of the Prince of Peace. It's good news because it's for all people. Up until that moment, the religious systems of the world kept out people of certain race, certain class, of certain circumstance in their own life, most of which was not their fault. They didn't choose to be like that, but because they were like that, or were they because they were from there, they weren't allowed into the presence of God. So it's joy, and it's for all. And with this news, the floodgates were about to open so that all people, everyone from everywhere, could come personally into the presence of God. That's good news. Because before that, only a select few could ever get near him. Only a select few could ever come into the Holy of Holies. For fear that they might die in there, they'd put a rope around their feet and pull them back out in case they died. But the floodgates were open. Jesus came. The Bible says he came for all. And he died once and for all. Say all. For all of us. You see, the Christmas story is not complete without Easter. Easter is part of the Christmas story. That's why it's good news. The second verse of that carol that we just sung captures it beautifully. It says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. And then maybe the two strongest lines in that carol, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel, our Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully God. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. I honestly wonder how many of us really get this. Oh God, open our eyes. Help us understand what this moment is actually all about. The Son of God came near to be with us. 700 years before that night in Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah prophesied it. Chapter 7 of his book, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. 7 centuries later, a good man by the name of Joseph is engaged to a young woman by the name of Mary, still a virgin. Discovering that Mary was pregnant, he had a lot of things to process, but he too has an angelic visitation. And some of the interaction of that moment is recorded in the first chapter of the New Testament from Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. After he, that is Joseph, had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23. This changes everything for everybody everywhere. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. C.S. Lewis put it this way, the Son of God became a man so that men could become the sons of God. It's powerful. One of my personal traditions in my own devotions is, as we get to the month of December, is to try to read every story, every passage of Scripture that relates to the coming of the Son of God. And my prayer is this, God, take me beyond sentiment. Take me beyond tradition and bring me into a place of truly understanding what it meant for the heart of the Father to give us his Son so that we too could become his family. In that moment, eternity ended time and divinity ended humanity. It's amazing. And it was always part of God's plan. Read right from the very start of the Bible, way back in the book of Genesis, God knew that the seed of the woman would be needed to save us from our own mistakes, our guilt, our shame, our sin. And what did he do? Bible says from the foundation of the earth this was planned. Wow. God knew that we would need to be rescued from ourselves. So what did he send? Not an angel, not an adult, not a superhero. He sent us a baby. Do you fully get it? I struggle. That God became an embryo. That God was born in a fairly rough, tough place like Bethlehem. That Jesus Christ needed his nappy changed. We forget. Kind of like we blink and of course, you know, he did all these amazing things. Jesus was a toddler. He had to learn to talk. That amazing voice that spoke to the winds and the waves, peace. He had to learn. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn to eat. Had to learn the basic things of life that every human being had to. The Bible says in Luke 2:52, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. We don't know much about him from that moment in Bethlehem through to when his cousin John baptizes him. It's a couple of moments there that give most parents great comfort that even Mary and Joseph lost their kid at church. But apart from that, there's not much. But we forget that Jesus had to go through all those growth developmental phases. Jesus was a teenager. Jesus went through puberty. Before he had that beautiful photo, that photographic beard and all that stuff. He had these few wispy hairs hanging off his chin. His voice had to crack. That voice that said, peace. You know, it was, peace, hey, you know, it's horrible. 13 years of age, what a tough one. We've all been there. Then he goes through that and he becomes an adult. And he experiences everything that we go through. The writer of Hebrews says he knows everything we went through, just every human experience, except he just didn't sin. He got hungry, he got tired, he got lonely, he was betrayed. And then after 33 years on the planet, what's the greatest thing the human race can do for him? They put him on a cross. And he died for our sins. That's what we're celebrating here today. That as John writes in John 1:14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. In the 1990s, a singer by the name of Joan Osborne posed a question. You remember it? What if God was one of us? Just a stranger on a bus. Well, Joan, I've got a newsflash for you. He was one of us. The Word became flesh. He dwelt amongst us. He lived and he experienced everything that we did. And so when we pray, even when we're going through our darkest hour, we probably need to be careful when we say to him, you wouldn't understand, because he does. He understands it all. He understands our pain, every emotion. He knows what it feels to just be seen as one of the ordinary ones, born in Bethlehem in a stable. He was a king, but it wasn't a palace. The only thing that greeted him when he arrived in Bethlehem were no vacancy signs. His birth was heralded and celebrated by nothing but angels and animals. It's incredible. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born in this situation. I get great comfort from that because I was born in a place called Woi Woi and raised in a town called Mundubbera. Pretty ordinary. I'm so glad that I can relate to him. I can relate to him because he was human. But the story of Christmas can't just leave him as human. Because Emmanuel says he was God with us. A lot of the Christmas celebration, a lot of the Christmas tradition and sentiment gets caught in the with us, one of us. Yeah. But he was God made flesh. Can somebody say amen? That's what we're celebrating, that God so loved us that he gave us. That's what this is about. The prophet story's coming. Incredible. For unto us, he writes in chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Yes, I can relate to him because he was human, but he can rescue me because he's divine. The mighty God. In the midst of all the events in our nation in recent days, it's good to know that Emmanuel is also the Prince of Peace. Doesn't our nation need peace right now? We won't necessarily find it in change of policy. We'll find it in a change of heart that can only happen when the Prince of Peace comes in. He's God and he's mighty. Maybe 10 years ago or more, I was reading one of Max Lucado's books. I read a beautiful story that is set in the Northern Hemisphere. I have friends, dear friends, that have left Australia this Christmas and gone to the Northern Hemisphere hoping to experience a white Christmas. Very different, very cold in certain parts of the northern half of this planet around this time of year. And there's a moment that that the Cardo tells the story when a farmer is sitting beside his fire and he hears a little noise and he looks out into the dark and he sees something a little different. It was a little flock of birds. They're obviously somehow caught by a storm and blown off course while they were heading for warmer climate. He thought, well, that's unusual to see something like this. They're outside, these poor little things. They're going to freeze. They're going to die. So he thought, I need to do something about it. So he gets outside and puts a jacket on, heads out to his big barn, which is quite warm inside. He thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invite them in to a place where they'll be saved. So he opens the door and he welcomes them in. They don't budge. So he thinks, I'll go a little closer to them, but they were afraid of him. He seemed so big and his size was imposing. They were terrified. They pulled away. So he tried to speak bird. He whistled and he beckoned. Didn't work. He got some grain. He thought, you know what I'll do? They'll see that I'm kind and I'll throw them something that'll satisfy them. But even in the throwing, they thought, no, there's something behind this. There's an agenda here that's going to cause us pain. And they flinched back all the further. So that I know what I'll do. I'll get some more grain. And he got some grain. And he took it from that place of warmth and safety. And he took it all the way out to near where they were. He thought, hopefully they'll pick it up and they'll peck their way back in and they'll be saved. Nothing. And the harder he tried, the more these little things resisted his kindness, and he tried all he could. He beckoned, he begged, he tried to coax, nothing. In the end, he just gave up and he said to himself, if only I'd become a bird, I could go and be one of them and lead them to a place where they'll be saved. Friends, that's the story of Christmas. This creator of the universe wanted relationship with us. He wanted us to experience salvation and he invited us in. Every message that was sent, every prophet, every angel, humanity didn't fully get the story. So you know what he did? He became one of us. Emmanuel, God with us, to lead us home. And if we'll accept the invitation, we can too know his salvation. A few years ago, we were at a family birthday party. My oldest son has got 2 kids, and my youngest one's got 3. And one of the boys was having a birthday party. It was pretty cute, all the gifts and all the fun and all the little games. And all the activity was going on, and there were beautiful cakes and all the basic food necessities when you're under 5 was all there on a plate. It was just a beautiful celebration. And there was a moment when we were invited, okay, we're all going to get around and we're going to do that little party. We're going to sing songs and cut a cake. And so everybody was invited to the feast. And at that moment, I looked up the hall and I saw my youngest grandson. He was fairly advanced. It's in his genes from his mother's side. And he was one of these little kids. He's the third child, and third kids pick stuff up pretty quick. And he started to walk pretty young. And he had another friend, another cousin from, you know, further afield in our family. And this little guy was the first child. And though he was older than our grandson, he couldn't walk. And we said, come on, it's going to be great. Come on over. And so you know what my little grandson did? It was one of these special moments that I'll never forget. He could have walked straight to the feast, but his little friend couldn't make it. So you know what he did? He got down on his all fours and he crawled with his friend so he could come to the table. That's what happened at Easter. That's what happened at Christmas. That's what happened in Emmanuel. God came near. He got down on the dirt on this dusty planet to lead us home to the heart of the Father. But what's different about that little party moment to what Jesus did? He didn't just stay in the dirt. He didn't just stay in the dirt. Oh, we put him on a cross, but he didn't stay on the cross. You know what happened? They put him in a tomb. He didn't stay in the tomb. Bible says, and on the third day, he rose again. And the same spirit that raised him from the dead is that same spirit that's working in our hearts. It's working in every community where people are turning their eyes towards Jesus at this time. He inhabits our praises. And that same spirit's at work. He's at work in the hearts of every human being that even begin to respond to the knock on their hearts. That knock is the knock of a loving God that says, hey, would you open up? Would you let me in? The Bible says if you let him in, he'll change everything from the inside out. And today I want to pray for you on this last Sunday before the great celebration on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, when we remember Emmanuel. As the band come to the stage and join me, we're going to worship him, we're going to pray, we're going to lift our voices and we're going to lift our hands to a God who is worthy, to a God that we can't ignore his extravagant gift to us. So I wonder if you'd stand with me and pray. I'd like to lead you in prayer today for our nation. We need peace on earth. We need our nation to hear the wonder of God's extravagant love. We need to see God come and undo the power of fear and bring his kingdom. So I'm going to pray for our nation. I'm going to pray over every household, every family. That for some, this is a challenging time. We longingly look at some people that are celebrating and there's that ache in our heart. And I'm also going to pray for you, my friend. What do you need to be rescued from? Your past. Failures, regret, shame. Let me tell you, my God is able. And all you need to do, the Bible says, it's a great little picture. It says, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. All you need to do is just take that first step. It says, if you'll just take that first step, it's all it takes. And I'm going to come to you and I'm going to change your life from the inside out. But God's done everything he can. Christmas tells us that. Religion tells us we've got to keep doing more, but Jesus says, I've done it all. All we now need to do, like what happened in many, many situations this year, a gift would be offered, all we need to do is receive it. That salvation, that door to the barn is open. We're invited in, but we need to accept the invitation. We need to receive it. And I wonder this morning, as before I even pray over homes and our nation, I wonder if I could pray for you first. With every head bowed across this room, it would be my incredible honor to pray for you, my friend. If for the very first time in your life, you say, you know what? I've never really opened my life and said, God, come and change it. God, I need to be rescued. I can relate to all the stuff you went through, but there's one thing you can do that I can't do. You can't save me from my past. I'm drowning in mistakes and guilt, shame and regret. Would you come and save me? Help me. Give me a future worth living. As we step into a new year, I want you in that year with me, God. There'll be people who are back in church that have been away for a while. And this season just draws us. I think, you know what? Friends, I'm going to tell you something. You're not just in church. You're coming back to the heart of the Father that loves you. For the first time ever, or the first time of being away for too long from the Lord, you're saying, I want to come home today. I want to just let him come in. Maybe you've got your own words for it, but this is what it is. God, I need you in my life. And I'm so grateful that Jesus came to make it possible. That's you. Would you raise your hand and say, Wayne, you're praying for me today. Include me in that prayer. Thank you. Just raise your hand and say, first time ever in my life. Thank you. Don't worry about a few tears going down faces. Who else? Just raise your hand and say, for the first time in my life, after being away, I've been away too long. Pastor Wayne, pray for me. I'm going to look across this room, wait 10 seconds. If that's you, raise your hand high. Raise it up high. God bless you. If you've raised your hand or you wish you had, would you place it upon your heart? Pastor Cherie will come and tell you how the church will encourage you and help you. But they can't do what you're doing right now. And that's just letting God in. If that's you, would you place your hand on your heart? Maybe you're with somebody that you know is a follower of Jesus, a family member or a friend. Just give them a little nudge. They'd love to pray with you in this moment. May you know God's radical love, His amazing grace and kindness that's flowing to you, that's only possible because of Jesus. May you know the work of His Spirit in your life, helping you, guiding you, leading you. We love you and we honor you and we bless you. We celebrate with you the wonder of all that God can do in your life as you let Him in. So do your work, Father, we pray. Help, restore, forgive, change lives forever through the power of your love. Church, would you open your hands as well? Everyone across this room, I bless you in Jesus' name. I pray for your household to be filled with peace that passes all understanding. I pray in this season you'd be an ambassador for the King of Kings. I pray for you to have opportunities to share your hope that is found in Emmanuel. I pray for homes that have experienced strife and tension to know the goodness of God, the favor of heaven. I pray that there would be such peace, help, and healing. This Christmas would be a very special time as the God of restoration makes all things new. Now, would you join me in praying for our nation? Father, we stand in a very significant moment for Australia. And our simple prayer is, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that the government is upon your shoulders. We pray, Lord, for peace on earth. We pray, Father, for what has been declared as the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Pray the hearts of men and women and boys and girls would turn to you. We need you, God, at this time. We need you, God. Lord, let the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the resurrection power of your Spirit, be at work in every church, be at work in the heart of every believer. Lord, may we find a fresh boldness to share the joy of Jesus. May our nation, Lord, may our nation in this time turn from anger to you. To you, Lord. And in it be glorified. Lord, let this season be a time where the winds of blessing, the winds of revival blow in our nation. What the enemy meant for evil, Lord, I pray you'd turn it for good. You'd turn it for good, and we agree for that in the name of Jesus. Before I leave this platform, one of my dear friends, Pastor Steve Windham's on the front row, a mission partner of this house for quite a season. Pastor Steve has been a blessing, been a friend of ours for decades, and going through a health challenge right now. And I saw you there. And we're not going to end this service without praying for you. Our God is able. He's the God who heals. He came to minister to you. And those on the front row, the ministry team that are able to, just, Pastor Len, just come and pray for Steve right there. That's it. Come on across, Ali and Steve. Come on over. Could you reach your hand towards this man of God? Father, we come in the name of Jesus, the healing name of Jesus. Steve, we speak to every cell in your body right now, and we command the healing flow of heaven in your life. I curse the very cause of this disease, and I speak life in the name of Jesus. May you know His power from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. May you know His presence and His strength and His peace in a way that passes the imagination of mankind. Sovereign Lord, do your work. We bless Him. We speak life. We speak health and strength. And we do so, Father, giving you the praise, because we know that you are able. We know that you are good. We know that you've come near to your servant, your son, right now. So touch him. In fact, I get a sense there's a touch of heaven. If you need a healing in your body, can I tell you the one who sent his son is able? Nothing is too. If you need a healing in your body, raise your hands to heaven right now across this room. Across this room. Let there be that healing flow of heaven in your life right now. Right now. We speak life to your body. In the name of Jesus, every condition respond to the name that is above every name. We use the name of Jesus. Speak life to you. Speak healing to you. Health to your bones. Health to every organ in your body. May your life be surrounded with His power and His presence. May your life bear testimony to the goodness and the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Team are going to lead us in song in a moment, but I just wonder if you'd raise your hands to heaven right across this room. Emmanuel, God is with us right now. Would you just worship Him for a minute? Would you just tell Him you love Him? Would you just thank Him for all that He is and all that He's done for us? Father, we love You and we bless You. And we again pray that we'd live in that spirit of revelation of what this is all about, we pray. In Jesus' name, come on, let's praise Him today.